It is a time to begin again. And that is why I run for president. And that is why I ask for your help. As we stand here today, brave young men are fighting across the ocean. Which of them might have written a great symphony? Which of them might have cured cancer? Which of them might have played in a World Series or brought laughter to all of us from a stage? Which of them might have built a bridge or a university? Which of them might have taught a small child? Which of them would have given something that is irreplaceable to the United States? I believe that it is our responsibility to make sure that those men live, and it is on that basis that I run for President of the United States.
Divisions, the violence, the disenchantment with our society, the divisions, whether it's between blacks and whites, between the poor and the more affluent, or between age groups, or on the war in Vietnam, that we can start to work together. We are a great country, and a selfish country, and a compassionate country. And I intend to make that my basis for running in over the years. I think all of these primaries have indicated, if I could just take a minute or 2 minutes more of your time. But all of these primaries have indicated, and all of the party caucuses have indicated, whether they occurred in Colorado or Idaho or Iowa, wherever they occurred, it was the people in the Democratic Party and the people in the United States wanted change. And that change can come about only if those who are delegates in Chicago recognize the importance of what has happened here in the state of California, what has happened in South Dakota, what happened in New Hampshire, what happened across the rest of this country. The country wants to move in a different direction. We want to deal with our own problems within our own country, and we want peace in Vietnam. What we're going to do in the rural areas of our country, what we're going to do for those who still suffer within the United States from hunger, what we're going to do around the rest of the globe, and whether we're going to continue the policies that have been so unsuccessful in Vietnam of American troops and American Marines carrying the major burden of that conflict. I do not want to, and I think we should move in a different direction. Mayor Yorty has just sent me a message that we've been here too long already. My thanks to all of you, and let's on to Chicago, and let's move on.
Mr. Humphreys, in his background in you, as far as the delegate votes go,
we'll just go and start your struggle for it.
Gunshot.
We hear what appeared to be gunshot.
coming from inside this room in here. It was mass chaos. You heard it as it happened.
Make room.
I'm talking to Don Shulman. Don, can you give us a halfway detailed report on what happened within all this chaos?
Okay, I was standing behind Kennedy as he was taking his assigned route into the kitchen. A Caucasian gentleman stepped out and fired, hit Kennedy all three times. So Kennedy slumped to the floor and the security guard fired back. Before they could get him, he shot a woman and he shot two other men. They then proceeded to carry Kennedy into the kitchen, and I don't know how his condition is now.
Well, from what you saw, Don, was he grazed, or did it appear to be a direct hit? Was it very serious from what you saw?
Well, from what I saw, it looked fairly serious. He was definitely hit three times. Things happened so quickly that there was another eyewitness standing next to me, and she is in shock now and very fuzzy, as I am, because it happened so quickly.
I saw this man go in the back. He started running back, and I saw, and I heard he's been shot. That's all I heard. And I was young. It was a young person. And that's all I saw. So run back. I just saw somebody run back. And then I heard somebody say he's been shot, and that's all I heard. I saw this man run back to. Everybody said.
Nobody said. And then a bunch of people ran out and said he's been shot.
I saw this man run in. Everybody said running after him and said he's been shot. And I said,
Police didn't question him. He was taken away immediately.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No. Yeah, one policeman asked my question, yes.
There is no one left in the Ambassador Hotel for you to see. People are gone, news stories are gone, excitement is gone, and it's time for you to go home. So let's
we can
clear
do
it
about that too.
Did you see the people, the man who shot?
Exactly. Yes, sir, I did. He was short about. Short men, young men, not older than 25, the most. Dark complexion, Latin American look. He was wearing blue.
You said it was a blue waistcoat.
Blue waistcoat, blue tennis, and jeans, right.
Did the man have any mustache or any disguise?
No mustache, nothing. He had bushy hair. He was crazy.
Which room did it happen?
Right as they were leading for the elevator.
Which elevator is that? Out in the hallway?
The kitchen elevator.
Did the man say anything when he
No, nothing. Shot? I believe someone was twisting his foot, so he couldn't say anything. He better not say anything.
Was he shot at all or not?
The man? No.
Leroy Medley.
Did a lot of people...
He shot with a handgun.
How many shots were there?
It was a small gun. Four or five shots.
Does anybody know Leroy?
I believe it wasn't more than a .22 or... It was a small gun.
Where did he come from?
He must have been waiting there. He had to
I saw him when he fell. I saw the individual
fall. On his back, his stomach?
Well, he was laying on his back when I got to him.
You know how many shots
was he saying? There were approximately five to six shots. It was a six-shot revolver, small caliber. From examining the weapon, I would assume that it was a .22.
Mm-hmm. And how many times was the senator shot, or weren't you able to tell?
He was shot more than once. I can almost assure you of that.
Lying on the floor? Did you hear him say anything at all?
His wife came to his side, and she said something to him. However, I don't know whether he responded. Other than that, he was very quiet. He was very unemotional. He just laid there.
He
grimaced in pain. He was conscious when he left.
Did you see anyone else shot?
I saw someone else.
The woman who was shot?
Was there
a
woman
shot? There was someone else shot. I did not look at the person shot because I looked to see Senator Kennedy.
What did the person look like? Was it a man or a woman who shot him?
I really cannot tell you. I didn't take notice. I was looking for the senator. I'm a Catholic.
Do you know how many people were shot?
A little sanctimony, I guess, but I wanted
Sir, do you know how many people were shot?
I don't think more than two were shot. I don't know about the one who did the shooting. All I know, they had him up on some bins,
It was a him. It was a he, right?
I saw curly hair, yes, and it was a male.
It was the woman
a male, curly hair?
I don't know about
any. Was it blonde hair, black hair?
Hey, I just did what I could do.
Now,
to be here. And I'm very pleased that all the signs that we sent out from the East Coast arrived here. I have my two sisters to introduce to you. Can I do that? This is my... my sister Patricia. And my sister Jean Smith. Oh, I'm very grateful. If you could just move back just a little bit. I'm very grateful to be here. And I thank you for your support. This is going to be a long and a difficult campaign. But what happens here in the state of California is going to be key to what happens across the rest of the country. So I come here to the state of California to ask for your help.
Well, near the end of Senator Kennedy's victory speech, I was standing in the embassy room, and I moved over towards the kitchen, and I waited for him at the kitchen doors. And finally, when he came, we walked through the doors together. I took a couple steps, and I said, "Senator Kennedy." He didn't hear me. He was moving very briskly. And so I said it again louder, and he heard me this time. And he turned around to his right, and I handed him 17 8x10 pictures of him in a manila envelope. I watched him for a second, but I turned around to leave. I walked for 5 seconds, and I heard 3 bangs, and I saw this man falling backwards, and I recognized him from being on the stage, but I didn't know there was Paul Schrade. It looked like blood was spewing in the air, and as soon as he had cleared the way, I saw on the ground, or just falling to the ground, Senator Kennedy, and blood was already oozing out of his head, and it was going over the floor. It was horrible.
When Sirhan fired, he was quite a distance from him, and he was grabbed by Roosevelt, Greer, and others. Well, I did have blood stains on my jacket in a few places, and those were from some of the people who were shot.
We had in mind, it was my order I had to bring him down to the Ambassador Ballroom, which is the next floor down, and that was behind the stage to the left. When we came from the stage and we were making the left, somebody stopped us and said, talked to Senator Kennedy. And then somebody told me, "No, we're going to go to the press room, which is to the right instead of to the left. And this is the way towards the pantry."
When Kennedy had finished the speech and the whole happenings and was descending the area, he was going towards one area, which toward the east way, and the some guys, some men, including Rosie Greer, I think, directed him another way. In other words, Kennedy thought he was going out one exit and the other people directed him another way. People were out of their minds. They were blowing their minds because of what had happened. I mean, because they had assumed that they had grabbed the guy who killed Kennedy. And there were guys and girls shouting, "Kill him, kill him." And they were literally trying to break this police chain around him to get at him. And I yelled at everybody to calm down and please, for God's sake, don't let another Oswald incident happen here. And in other words, I was bawling these people out for reacting this way, for God forbid if someone was to kill who might have been, you know, the murderer.
Well, before his speech was finished, I tried to move out because I wanted to get out of the way of the crowd. So I moved toward the exit, the kitchen exit, because I knew he was going out that way, because that's how he came in. So I figured, well, I could catch him and maybe get some pictures. So I moved back over that way, and I stood up on a bar arrangement they had. They were serving drinks and everything. So I stood up there, and as he came back to the door to leave, I started taking pictures and then started moving in, following
him
in.
Well, at the time the bullets went off, I wasn't exactly sure what was happening. It sounded like firecrackers, yet it sounded like balloons. I didn't realize that we were being shot at till about the third or fourth bullet went off. At that time, I began to hear people screaming, yelling. People were yelling, "Oh my God, no." I felt a little draft on my leg. I figured it was a bullet, and I said to myself, "My God, am I lucky?" And then a second later, another bullet hit me, and I managed to get over to a chair. There was blood all over. I asked a question, how is the senator? And this lady came up to me and said, how dare you talk about my husband this way? And she slapped me across the face. And I just shrugged it off, you know, emotional people at the time. But then she came back and she said, I'm sorry, honey. And she kissed me. And I think this was a very brave thing on her part, to actually come back after she saw what happened to her husband.
I was on the stage with the senator, right at the end of his speech. He turned around and walked back through the curtains and walked into the kitchen. I followed him about six or seven heads behind. And as I got down the hallway, I heard approximately six or seven what appeared to be balloon popping sounds or cracking noises. And all of a sudden, the people fiercely pushed me back and pushed me to the floor along with many other people yelling, there's a madman loose, Kennedy has been shot. It was something which was really appeared to me to be just the most mass amount of confusion I've ever been subjected to. People running everywhere. People had cocktail glasses in their hands, which were dropped and resulted in glass all over the floor. And many people were cut up and bleeding from the glass. The first thing I saw after I heard these, or while I was hearing these noises, is I saw the senator fall back toward where I was. And I saw Rafer Johnson lunge toward something, which I found out later was the suspect, Searhart.
All the phrases which have meant so much to Americans, peace and progress, justice and compassion, leadership and idealism, often sound not like the stirring reminders of our nation or history, but call forth the cynical laughter of hostility of our young people and many of our older people as well. Not because they do not believe in these principles, not because they do not believe in these terms, but because they do not think that our leaders mean them when they use them.
The doors of the Colonial Room swung open with several Los Angeles police with shotguns in their hands guarding two or three plainclothesmen who were holding on to this young guy wearing a light blue jacket, light pants, tennis shoes, light pants, and he was dark, black, curly hair.
We have no evidence of a conspiracy, only the evidence of this individual action. But every lead will be followed, no stone will be left unturned to uncover all evidence that will show every involvement in the commission of the
act. As near as we can tell, there was only one person, and this information has been gleaned from dozens of interviews from people who were present at the scene.
Chief, right after the shooting on the police radio, they indicated they were looking for a suspect around the Ambassador Hotel. Was he for questioning, or was he a suspect in the shooting?
What happened immediately following the shooting was that there was great pandemonium, and we didn't know, and it was reported at one time that there were as many as three suspects, but as our investigators pieced it back together, they're reasonably sure at this time that there was just one single suspect, and the one being searched around the Ambassador Hotel, the want for him has been canceled.
Our lives on this planet are too short. The work to be done is too great to let this spirit flourish any longer in this land of ours. Of course, we cannot banish it with a program, nor with a resolution. But we can perhaps remember, if only for a time, that those who live with us are our brothers, that they share with us the same short moment of life, that they seek, as do we, nothing but the chance to live out their lives in purpose and in happiness, winning what satisfaction and fulfillment that they can. Surely this bond of common fate, surely this bond of common goals can begin to teach us something. Surely we can learn at the least to look around at those of us, of our fellow men, and surely we can begin to work a little harder to bind up the wounds among us and to become in our hearts brothers and countrymen once again. Tennyson wrote in Ulysses, "That which we are, one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield." Thank you very much.